Sairam children, welcome again to the Children's Hour, live broadcast from Prashantilayam, just for you children.
Sairam children, yes, it is yet another beautiful Thursday coming to an end. And before it happens, here we are to present your Children's Hour.
What shall we talk about today? Okay, let me ask you a question. Look at the hair on your head and the nail in your finger.
Okay. But what's the idea?
How different the two are. But yet, we have no confusion on saying that both are a part of our body.
But it is, isn't it? So what?
Yes, that is because we are able to physically see the connection. Even I agree with you, Prem, because I can see you and see both your hair and nails connected to your body.
Okay. So what is it we can learn from this, Ganesh?
Not yet. Now if I tell you, you staying in Andhra Pradesh and a farmer in Mexico are both connected and belong to one big body, just like your hair and nail, what would you say?
Ah, now I understand. Yes, it would be very difficult for me to accept such a thing.
And I'm sure, children, you might be wondering, how could that be possible and how could they possibly be connected?
Okay, imagine this, children. Someone gives you a magic drink and you grow very, very huge. So huge that, say, the earth looks like a basketball to you. Now, when you look at earth, doesn't it look like a small object?
Now, see a person in Andhra and a person in Mexico. Don't they appear small parts of the same big person called Earth?
Just like how you feel that your hair and nail is connected, and it is true that they are connected because it is the same body that nourishes them.
So, when two people living on different parts of the Earth too draw their nourishments from Earth, can we not think of the Earth as one big person where we all are tiny bit parts?
All the animals and birds and fishes are all small parts of this big Mr. Earth. Or, in fact, we should say Mother Earth, isn't it? The rivers are a part of her, the mountains and plains, all are a part of this one person.
And just like how we eat food through the mouth and the energy that comes from that food travels to every part of our body, from the brain to the toe, the earth does the same.
What is the earth's food? It's the sun's rays, isn't it? This food is processed by the plants and trees and converted into food that is edible to all the other creatures on earth, including all of us. We further do what we want with the food that we eat, isn't it? But do you see how the whole earth, children, functions like a big person now?
So, though it may not appear to us, the whole earth, with all its beings, with all the inanimate things, is one big living being.
Yeah.
Okay, children. Now we have accepted that though we may not see it all the time, we all are connected like one huge organism, right? Mm. There are two important lessons we can learn from this. And as that song went, nature is the best preacher, isn't it? So we are going to learn two of those important lessons today. Are you ready?
Children, every week we play for you a talk by our doctor. This week also we will play. Do you know what is the essence of what she says? Especially when she talks about how we should not misuse our eyes or how we should not eat unhealthy food.
It's a very simple thing, children. Let's say you like to eat chocolates. Of course, all of us like to eat chocolates. In other words, your tongue likes the taste of chocolates, isn't it? But what happens when you eat too much of chocolates?
You will end up upsetting your stomach, isn't it? So, in your efforts to please your tongue, you hurt your stomach.
Let's see another example. Let's say you enjoy cartoons or some children's series which come on TV. You enjoy it because it is funny, it makes you laugh. So, in other words, it is exciting those parts of your brain which makes you happy, right? Mm. But how can you give this excitement to your brain? It is only through your eyes, isn't it?
But just to please your brain, if you keep seeing cartoons, you will end up spoiling your eyesight. Then you will have to wear thick glasses. So you see, again to please one part of the body, we overuse the other part and harm it.
So, in all such situations, what does the doctor tell us? We need moderation. Mm. Our usage of any part of the body should be within limits, so that it is not overused and thereby harmed.
Now, let us go back to the earth. What did we say? We saw how the whole earth is like one huge person. Everything on this earth is like one part of that person's body. Now, applying the same lesson, what can we say?
One part should not misuse another part just to please itself, right? That's the simple lesson.
Mm.
Which means, we as humans are one part of this huge earth.
Mm.
It is not right on our part to keep using the earth to please ourselves indiscriminately, and thereby harm another part of the earth. But children, sadly, that is what we do now.
Because we need more wood, we cut trees. It is not entirely wrong, but the mistake is, we cut more than we plant. And we cut too often. Trees take many, many years to grow, isn't it?
When we cut so many trees, what happens? Oh children, so many bad things happen that we can't tell you probably in this 1 hour or two such 1 hour programs. Rains reduce, soil becomes loose, birds and animals lose their homes.
It's a very sad state. See, just because we want more, we are making another organ of this earth suffer. Like this, children, we waste water also. Then because we use cars and other vehicles, we pollute the air. Imagine, children, we use the vehicles, but little birds and other animals suffer the pollution we create.
So children, keep all these things in mind and use with caution all of nature's resources. You should not waste water just because there's plenty of water at your home.
Mm.
Remember that you are part of this earth and every wastage does matter.
Similarly, don't waste paper or anything else for that matter. Every object that we use, be it some gadget, our clothes, shoes, lot of natural resources are needed to produce each one of them. So we should always buy and use only as much as we really need. Will you always keep this in mind, children?
But children, when we pollute our environment, we not only make the other organisms suffer, but we ourselves suffer a lot too. Do you know, children, much of the health problems we face today is due to the effects of pollution, more so in the cities that we live in.
So, that would be an interesting topic to hear something about from our doctor, wouldn't it be? Then, why wait, children? Dr. Lata Shri from the General Hospital is going to tell us about a few health hazards that are caused by pollution.
Om Shri Sai Ram. offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sairam children. Children, we all know that environmental pollution and health hazards go hand in hand. For instance, air pollution leads to various types of lung diseases like allergy, asthma, chronic cough, and it also causes irritation of the eyes and skin. And water pollution is the main cause for spread of epidemics like cholera, dysentery, jaundice, and typhoid fever. And radiation emitted or leaked by nuclear power plant can lead to skin cancer and also blood cancer or leukemia. And noise pollution can produce permanent damage to the eardrum. It also causes fatigue, irritability, and tension headaches. Heavy metal wastes like mercury, lead, zinc, dumped into the water sources by industries can cause serious damage to the brain and the nervous system. So it is very necessary that suitable measures must be taken to reduce environmental pollution. I will tell you in brief about carbon footprint and the greenhouse gases. There are certain gases, namely carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. These are called greenhouse gases, and in fact, these gases are essential to maintain the temperature of this planet at an optimal level. Whereas, when the atmospheric concentration of these gases goes up, then proportionately the temperature of the planet also increases, and this results in global warming. And the emission of these gases is measured in terms of carbon footprint, and there are many, many factors which increase the emission of these greenhouse gases. Some of the primary activities which increase the emission of these greenhouse gases are burning of fossil fuels like coal and natural gas. Secondary activities are many, many, and they include some important daily activities like use of automobiles and also industries, use of artificial milk for children instead of breast milk, and consumption of non-vegetarian food actually leads to 2 times more emission of greenhouse gases as compared to vegetarian food. And also manufacturing, packaging, transportation of consumables, cement sealing of houses, that is why high-rise buildings are the chief culprit in emission of greenhouse gases. And also use of air conditioners and heaters, inefficient and inadequate solid waste disposal, all these will contribute to greenhouse gas emission and in turn increasing the problem of global warming. And this emission, as I told you, is measured in terms of carbon footprint, and it is the responsibility of every one of us to reduce our carbon footprint, because global warming, apart from adversely affecting the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, and also fertility of soil, it also leads to many health hazards. Injury, illness, and death from extreme heat waves, wildfire, intense storms and floods, and also drought will increase with global warming. And also it increases the incidence of cholera outbreaks and vector-borne diseases like malaria, dengue, and yellow fever. So we must all realize that we must strive hard to reduce our carbon footprint. And how do we do this? Some of our daily gestures which can be practiced by all of us in our day-to-day life are the 3 things, 3 hours, in fact, reduce, reuse and recycle. First of all, we must avoid wasting of food, water and energy, and we should know how to effectively conserve them. Small things that we can do, or we can reduce the time taken to have our own bath every day, and we can close the water taps when we are brushing our teeth or washing our face so that water is not wasted. We should unplug electrical appliances when they are not in use, and switching off lights and fans promptly every time we leave the room are some of the things which we can very well do in our day-to-day life. We can limit the use of air conditioners and heaters, and also we can avoid the consumption of non-vegetarian food. And burning crackers on Diwali festival days also can lead to this problem, and we can abstain from all these things. And when we have to travel short distances, we can use bicycle or we can even walk it up and avoid using a car or a motorbike. And planting trees, promoting afforestation, maintaining a garden is one way of rainwater harvesting and conserving water. And we can limit the use of paper, which helps to save trees. And we can avoid and clear all the clutter in our own homes and keep our homes, surroundings and neighborhood clean. And as children, you can all participate in the cleanliness drives at weekends to clean up your colonies. And through this, you can create awareness about environmental pollution and conservation of environment. You can even educate people. And we must learn to distinguish between needs and wants. See, we should make a list of all the trivial things that we don't need at all, and we can refrain from buying them. In this age of technology, when television and other social media are emphasizing through advertisements so much on a change in culture from necessity to superfluous, that is what is happening today through the media. And this has resulted in deviation from being one with nature and living in harmony with nature to, say, fast food culture, easy to eat canned foods, frozen foods and tin foods, and also the rage with consumables. This is increasing today. And all this has resulted in generating waste and only waste, adding to the load on the environment. And in the mad pursuit of these things, we are not only wasting our precious money, time and energy, we must understand we are wasting the purpose of this life itself. That is why, children, practicing Swami's program of sealing on desires is very relevant and very important, especially today. Sealing on desires helps us not to waste four things, that is food, money, energy and also time, and learn to judiciously use them. So, children, we must realize that it is our responsibility to become eco-citizens and help to conserve this Mother Earth and also consume with care. Theodore Roosevelt once said, "There is enough on this earth to provide for the need of everyone, but there isn't enough to satisfy the greed of even one." That is what is happening today. See, Mother Nature is a benevolent giver, but we are consuming far more than what nature can give us. And if this scenario continues, it is estimated that by the year 2048, not one, not two, but three such planets will be required to sustain this entire humanity. That is why, children, it is a collective responsibility to protect this Mother Earth and make this earth a better place to live, not only for us, but for generations to come. This is all for today. Jai Sai Ram.
So let us thank the Dr. Children for her valuable lessons as always. But Prem, we all agree we must preserve the environment. But what should we do to preserve the environment?
Ganesh, the answer is in the quote that the doctor told us just now. Mother Earth has enough for every man and woman's need, but does not have enough for even one person's greed.
So if we all can become less greedy, nature will automatically be fine. See children, we refer to nature as Mother Nature, which means it is not wrong to take from nature. Nature is here to give us what we need like a mother. The problem is when we grab, isn't it?
I think we should listen to a small story song about this, Ganesh.
Story song? What is that?
Come, let us listen, because it is a very, very fun little song.
Sure.
It's a tiny song which has a beautiful little story with an important message contained in it.
Six grown men set off for the city. They got lost. Now isn't that a pity? No food, no drink could be found, so they slept right there on the cold hard ground. Waking up, they saw a tree full of fruits as a tree should be, and they jumped up and found an axe. They really did, now that's a fact. The first man shouted, "Let's cut it down and take the whole tree right back to town." But the second man said, "Why take the whole thing? Cut it in half, easier to bring." But the third man had a better plan. "Let's break off a limb. Hey, give me a hand." Then the fourth man, who had good common sense, said, "Just pick some fruit. Don't be so dense." Fifth man said, "We don't need much. We'll pick some fruit and have a little lunch." The tree was waiting to hear the last man. "Let's eat the fallen fruit," said the Lord, sweet man.
Oh, that was a beautiful one, Prem. Yes, how stupid that the first three wanted to cut the fruit-giving tree. The fourth was a wise man. So he said, "Let us just take the fruits." But the fifth man was the best man. He said, "Why do we have to pluck when we can eat the fruits that have already fallen down?" Indeed a very beautiful story.
Yes, yes. I don't know about you children, I like that story song very, very much. Now children, remember, we told you we are going to learn two lessons today, right? We just learned one so far, which is,
in the process of satisfying one part of the body, harming the other is a very, very bad idea. And do you know what is the other lesson, children? Okay. Let us say you are walking down the road. By mistake, you step on a thorn. What happens?
Oh God, I will scream. Then immediately try to pull out the thorn.
Exactly, Prem. Did you notice it, children? Your foot is bleeding and hurting, but your mouth lets out a scream. Your eyes start shedding tears and your hand just rushes out to help the foot.
So when we understand or consider the whole earth as one big body, when one part of the body suffers, the other parts must rush to help, right?
For that, first we have to develop this helping nature. We should consider it a part of our responsibility to be of help to those around us.
This is a very, very important lesson, Ganesh. And I think, again, it will be best conveyed through a nice story. So why not we do that?
Yes, children. Shall we listen to a beautiful story that emphasizes this important lesson of each of us caring for those around and the society at large?
Children, let me tell you a very nice story. There was once a king who ruled his kingdom wisely. He spent his time trying to improve the lives of his people. One day, the king decided to see for himself how his people lived in the kingdom. So early one morning, he dressed as an ordinary citizen and secretly mounted his horse and rode into the town. The citizens were still not out in the streets. So this king stopped at one place where the dirt road was narrowing. He tied his horse by the side of the road and then he dug a hole right in the middle of the road. In there, he placed a metal jar wrapped in a piece of cloth. Then the king brought a big stone that was lying on the side of the road and placed it on that hole, completely covering that hole. Having completed his task, the king hid behind the tree to make his observations from that location. Not long after, a farmer was the first to pass that way. He was driving his cart with fresh produce for the vegetable market. Suddenly, one wheel of the cart hit the stone and a sack rolled and fell on the road. Looking at that stone right in the middle of the road, he said, "These people are so useless. Who knows for how long the stone is lying in the middle of the road? But nobody even takes notice of it. Nobody takes the trouble to remove the stone from the middle of the road." Thus mumbling, the farmer collected his sack and drove away. The king, seeing this, felt bad about this indifference and thought, "Okay, maybe I should wait a little more." Then he sighted a policeman walking down that road. He was looking very smart and impressive in that uniform. As he walked, suddenly he tripped over the stone and nearly hit the ground. He grumbled about that carelessness of the people, spoke some angry words, and walked away. Just then, a loud singing was heard, and a moment later, a milkmaid came along. She had one milk container on her head and another she carried by her side. She was making her way down that road, looking to the left and now looking to the right and singing aloud to attract the attention of the residents in the nearby houses. When suddenly, her foot hit the stone and she lost balance. The milk container on her head fell to the ground, spilling all the milk. The milkmaid was obviously very upset. She thought the people of this town were so thoughtless. She grumbled, "How could they leave such a big stone right in the middle of the road? Don't they know that people can trip over the stone? Each person thinks only for himself. People are so lazy." Then she collected her milk pot and went away in a very bad mood. Observing all this, the king was very unhappy. "Is there no responsible person in my kingdom?" As he was lost in these thoughts, a young man came along. As soon as he saw the stone in the middle of the road, he remembered the lessons he was taught by his guru. His guru had taught him that his first duty is to himself. If ever his life was in danger, then he must try everything possible to preserve his life. But higher than that was the duty towards his family. If ever it became necessary, to give up his life to save his family, then it should be so. But higher than that is his duty towards the community. If he had to sacrifice his life and sacrifice his family for the good of the community, then the interest of the community comes first. But higher than that is the duty to the nation. And higher still is the duty to the whole of humanity. Recollecting all this, he went quickly to the middle of the road and removed the stone. And there, underneath the stone, he saw a bundle. It was wrapped in a cloth with a handwritten note fastened to the cloth. The note read, "This stone was placed here by your king. Whoever takes the trouble of removing the stone, thereby thinking about the good of the people, can keep this bundle and its contents. And the king would like to meet this person at the earliest." So curious, he opened, and what was in there? Gold coins, all glittering in the morning sun. He was amazed. Next day, the young man went to meet the king. The king could instantly see the good character of this man, his nobility and his unselfish nature. The king was very pleased, and he made this man his chief minister. He helped the king rule the kingdom for many, many long years. And this example set by the young man taught a valuable lesson to the citizens of this kingdom. They changed their attitude from taking to giving. Now everybody was so courteous, so very thoughtful and caring for the needs of the other. The kingdom prospered and became a heaven on earth. So young listeners, hope you enjoyed the story and also learned a very valuable lesson of being responsible and to do your part rather than expecting others to do their duty. With this, it is Sairam from me.
तेरी महिमा का a life, not for a living. Education is for life, not for a living. Samithya Ya Vimuktaye. Satya Sai Baba, your life is your message. Satya Sai Baba, your life is your message. We shall follow you.
Medicare is for life.
So let it be free.
Water is for life.
So let it be free. Educate is for life.
So let it be free.
Educate. Medicare. Let them be free.
They're for life. Chaaro disha mein hai chhai bahar. Dil mein hai pyaar. Tera Sai teri mahima pa, Satya Sai teri mahima pa, Sai teri mahima pa.
Satya Sai Baba, love is your form.
Har ek prani se prem karo, har manav ki seva karo.
Muslim Sikh Isai Har Prani Se Prem Karo.
There is love all, love all.
Hindu Muslim Sikh Isai Har Prani Se Prem Karo. Let us love God in man. Let us love God in man. For God is love, living love. So says Baba Satya Sai. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love, end the day with love. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love, end the day with love. So be good and do good and see good. This is the way to God. Sai, we love you.
That is the magic of a story. It is so easy to understand important lessons when we learn it through a story, isn't it? So, what were the lessons we learned through that little story, children?
We must take care of ourselves, because as Swami says, this body is a temple of God. But if those around are in danger or in need, we must be ready to sacrifice our comforts for the sake of others.
And this has to be applied even in our care for Mother Earth, children. And that is what a lot of men and women around the world are doing. They are called environmentalists. They put a lot of efforts to conserve some animals and birds or even forests and rivers that are in danger.
That is why we have Save the Tigers campaign, the expeditions to protect the olive turtles, or even organizations that try and protect the dolphins.
These people have learned the lesson that we have to take care for all other parts of this huge body called Earth. These are people that have taken to their heart both the lessons we spoke about today.
But do you know an interesting thing, children? Few days back, Ganesh spoke to a little boy from the United States whose ambition was to become an ecologist and protect nature. And that conversation is what we are going to be playing for you today. Isn't it interesting? We spoke so much about the environment today and we have our guest who is interested in becoming an environmentalist. So over now to Ganesh, who's talking to Aditya.
Sairam, dear children, and Sairam, dear listeners. Today we have a very special guest in our studios, waiting very eagerly to talk to all of you and share his beautiful views. Sairam.
Sairam.
Can you please introduce yourself to all our listeners who are listening to this program?
My name is Aditya Krishna Arun, and thank you very much for letting me talk this time.
Oh, we are very happy to talk to you, and all the children are very happy to listen to you. So, you come from?
I come from US. It's summer for me, so I'm just coming to visit Perthi.
Mm-hmm. So, you're studying in which class?
I'm going to fifth grade today.
Hmm.
And, yep.
So, how often do you come to Prashanthalayam?
I started at 2005 and came, and till then I started coming here.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So, what do you do back in US?
I go to Sai Center over there and learn Sai spiritual education and human values and people that use human values.
Hmm. So how do you define human values actually? What do they teach you?
We use human values each time, wherever, and we have to, because if we don't even use one, then we're go to bad. So yeah.
What are they? Can you please tell us?
Love, truth, peace, non-violence, and right conduct.
Mm. So why do you like Swami's teaching so much?
To me, Swami is like God. He protects us, does everything for us. So we should listen to him and do what he tells us to do.
So you have any nice experience with Swami which you can share with all of us?
Yeah, like when I was a little kid, I used to come to Perthi. That time I used to see Swami personally and physically. But then after his samadhi, I still remember him, and I promise I'll remember him.
Oh, so good that you love Swami a lot. And we'll just shift gears and go back to US. And what do you want to exactly become when you grow big?
My dad has inspired me many times, so I decided to become a biologist when I grow up.
Okay. Huh.
To help mankind and animals find out new things about animals.
Hmm. What does your dad do?
He's a breast cancer biologist.
Hmm.
And, yep.
So, what does your mother do?
My mother works on computer software.
Hmm.
Also, now he's sacrificed his job for me, and I feel sad about that.
So, which subjects do you like the most at school?
Science is my most favorite subject. Mm. My second is math.
Mm.
Mm, then it's social studies, then to writing and reading.
What do you like to read and write? What
I like
interests
to read
you?
And write about nature and more.
Okay.
And ecology and all that.
Mm. What's special in nature?
The views are splendid. The animals help us, give themselves to us, and die for just to give food to us.
Mm.
So, yeah.
What do we learn from the trees?
They give wood for us, paper for us, shade for us, but we never give anything to them.
Mm.
This is like, to me, it feels like they're giving something to us, but we're not giving anything back.
Mm, mm. We don't even try to water them, right?
Right.
Mm. So what is the best lesson that we learn from various aspects of nature?
Like, nature is like God. God made nature. Mm-hmm. So if God's in nature, then nature is God.
Yeah, this is God. Yeah. Well, have you ever been to a beach?
Yes.
Boating?
Yes.
So what's special about water?
Water gives many things to us.
Mm.
But, like, we pollute it. Mm. But we should learn to recycle nature.
Mm.
We can't just, once we use it, we just throw it away. It's really bad. So, yeah.
So, what do the children have to learn from nature?
Nature does everything for us, but we never give it back. So it's like a sacrifice for just us, for mankind to live and for the future.
So what do we have to do to protect nature?
We have to learn to recycle, give back to nature, let them live, let nature live. Never, like, reduce nature. Always increase the nature. Nature will always increase, but we always reduce it because of us. So we should stop reducing it and let it increase by itself.
Swami, once what happened when he came to the studio for the first anniversary, Swami had told, don't waste energy, don't waste time. So all this is a part of nature. So first thing we have to do is not to waste anything, right? What other hobbies you have apart from studying and wanting to become a scientist?
I like many sports as like soccer and basketball and more.
Okay.
And I love music and peace because music for me is peace at the same time. That is also one reason I like Perthi because I can find peace here.
Okay.
And yeah.
So which kind of music you like?
Bhajans I like, and I'm not into the rock types of music that much. I'm more into peace musics and bliss. More into bliss musics.
Okay, okay.
Like bhajans.
Do you practice music?
Yes, I do. I sing in Sai Center sometimes.
Oh, very nice. Can you sing one bhajan for us? All the children will be very happy to listen to you.
Okay. Jai 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 Gananayaka, Jai Jai Vikna Vinashaka, Jai 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 Gananayaka, Jai Jai Vikna Vinashaka, Jai Ashubha Mangala Dayaka, Vidya Bhuti Pradayaka, Gajavadana Gauri Nandan, Gajavadana Gauri Nandan, Ganga Dada Shiva Shambho Nandan, Ganga Dada Shiva Shambho Nandan. Jai 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 Kana.
You got a very beautiful voice.
Thank
so you if you practice a lot, you'll become a very good singer, a very good bhajan singer.
Yeah.
So, you have any friends in Perthi who guide you in bhajans?
Yes, one of them are Ashwatthana and and Naleshanda.
So, they teach you bhajans and how to sing and all
yes.
that? So, what aspects you like in Perthi when you...
I like how the animals roam free. We don't capture them. They just roam free. Like you can see cows in the roads. They roam free. We don't capture them. I like how they roam free. And I like how the bhajans and the peace here. You can always find peace here. Go to any area, there will be bhajan and peace.
So, what do you have to tell to all our listeners and children who are listening to this program?
Perthi is an area where peace is made and peace will always be there.
So every year you come to Perthi. So that's a regular summer vacation for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot for taking time out and coming to our studios and sharing your beautiful thoughts. Sai Ram, and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Yes. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So children, how did you like that conversation? How did you like the whole program today?
But children, we want you to do one thing today. You all should take a resolve to do your bit for the environment. In fact, you should tell us what you are going to do.
It could be anything, small or even big. Like you may say, I am not going to take a vehicle to school, I will go by walk or take a cycle, or I am going to plant a few saplings and care for it till they become trees, or it could be some way to save water in your everyday activities.
It could be something you are already doing or something you wish to start from today. Will you write and send it to us, children? And not just writing to us, you should resolve to practice them too.
So we will wait for all your mails and we will meet you all next week, same time.
Till then, children, be good children. Don't waste food, don't waste water, don't waste anything. Sai Ram, children.
Sai Ram, children.
Sai Ram, dear listener, we now bring you a special message from Professor G. Venkatraman, recorded on the 7th of July, 2015, where he shares about the reorganization of Radio Sai's ownership as well as its administrative and financial setup. Over to Professor Venkatraman.
Loving Sai Ram and greetings from Prashanti Nilayam. Those of you who are regular listeners of Radio Sai must undoubtedly be aware of my long association with Radio Sai. Indeed, there was a time when I was the sole broadcaster. Since then, we have come a long way to a point where I am now merely an occasional broadcaster. That is not because I have become less active, but because I had to manage a lot of other tasks. Lately, we had to face several challenges, all the way from constantly adapting to rapidly changing technologies, to grooming additional human resource and achieving both greater diversity as well as significantly enhanced outreach. Not many of you may be aware that behind the generic / brand name Radio Sai, there were really two teams. One team was a part of the Sri Sathya Sai Sadhana Trust and the other team was a part of the Sri Sathya Sai Media Foundation. The former trust happens to be a religious trust which is permitted to make and sell products, while the latter, being a charitable trust, is strictly prohibited from commercial activities of any kind. Historically, this bifurcation of Radio Sai occurred around 6 or 7 years ago. This is not the occasion to go into that history, but I must add that where Team Radio Sai is concerned, in spirit and in work, we always functioned as one team, calling ourselves back then as the Prashanti Digital Studio. No one gave us this name, but we chose it since that was convenient for sending and receiving postal messages. Coming now to the purpose of this particular broadcast, I should mention as a preliminary that for over a year, I have been engaged in informal discussions with some of the members of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. In large part, it had to do with the archives coming up. For the record, the Sri Sathya Sai archives is where all collection of not only audio recordings and old photos would be held in permanent storage, but also thousands of feet of films and thousands of videotapes. Most important of all, the archive would hold thousands of pages of original handwritten manuscripts of Bhagwan, a good many of which were found only recently. High-tech storage of archival material was not the only issue we discussed. I also discussed the sharing of this treasure with the wider world, in particular the message they contained. Dissemination of that message, we agreed, has now become more important than ever before, especially since the avatar has withdrawn his physical form. It is important to recall here that when Swami was physically with us, he not only lived his message, but also spoke extensively about the latter. Swami has on occasions pointed out that the Lord incarnated as Sri Krishna mainly to give a message. That message was given just once on the battlefield in Kurukshetra in the form of the famous Bhagavad Gita. In the Satya Sai avatar, however, Swami not only expanded the 700 slokas of the Gita into something like 1,000 discourses, but he also parsed many subtleties connected with Atma-jnana. And this Bhagavan did in a manner suited to address the numerous problems facing humanity presently. As if this was not enough, Swami also executed several amazing social welfare projects, most of which we know very little about. Let me explain what I mean by that. Speaking personally, I have, over the years, given talks and also done documentaries on the water projects, the hospitals, and so on. But then, when 2 months ago I entered the general hospital here for prolonged treatment of a severe foot problem, I realized how little I knew about the manner in which the hospital lives Swami's values. It was thrilling and also humbling to see how the workers in the hospital, and I mean not only the doctors but also the nurses, the people who manage the dietary, right down to the sweepers and helpers, how all these people live the spirit of Sai Seva. Not merely that, just yesterday I heard that they had dealt with 2 cases of snake bite. Few are aware that there are very few hospitals in India that handle snake bite cases, and Swami's General Hospital here in Puttaparthi is one of them. Did you know that? One more thing. A few days ago, I recorded a long conversation with Dr. Narasimhan, who is the guiding spirit of Swami's Mobile General Hospital. So stunned I was by all that Dr. Narasimhan told me that I decided then and there to work hard on making a short documentary on this incredible wonder on wheels. I can safely say that there is nothing like this anywhere in the whole world, because it is difficult to find a person so charged with Sai love and Sai compassion as Dr. Narasimhan. If I may advertise a bit, watch this space for a compelling story told in living color. And now for the real purpose of this special broadcast. As the result of extensive deliberations, which included the increased funding we now need, it was decided that Radio Sai would become Radio Sai Division and function as an independent unit of and receive its funding from the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, even as the various hospitals and schools do. Thus, on July 1st, the Sri Satya Sai Media Foundation ceased to exist, and the entire Prashanti Digital Studio team got absorbed into the Radio Sai Division of the Mother Trust established by Swami himself, namely, the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. By the way, this does not mean that we no longer need your support. Far from it. We would, as before, very much need your moral support, for because you out there are our biggest customer, shall I say. As for financial support, you can continue to donate as before, but please send your donations to the Central Trust. While doing so, you could, if you choose, indicate that you would like the amount to be spent to support Radio Sai. Money is like oxygen, and the Mother Trust can support many activities only if devotees appreciate that the onus of keeping Swami's various missions going rests on all of us both those who are here and those who are outside, no matter where that so-called outside is. That is all I have for now. Next week, I shall try and record a longer video version so that you get a clearer picture of what I have tried to communicate presently. Thank you for listening. Since this message is important, please pass it on to as many people as you know as possible. God bless and Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, we now bring you a special message from Professor G. Venkatraman, recorded on the 7th of July, 2015, where he shares about the reorganization of Radio Sai's ownership, as well as its administrative and financial setup. Over to Professor Venkatraman.